We will now turn the podium to Brother Dale Marzewski, who will continue our lesson with knowing the fellowship of his suffering.
Hello, brethren. I'd like to bring the love, first of all, from our brethren from the metropolitan Detroit area. Here's a photo of some of them. We took this last Sunday. Not all were present. Summertime seems to be a big travel time and convention time, so I just threw this up here. I know some of our Detroit brethren are here and say, hey, I'm not in that picture. Oh, you missed our business meeting last Sunday, brethren. Okay. I'd like to thank also Brother Brad for his part one of our scripture theme text. There's so many blessings we receive with our walk with the Lord. We also know there's going to be some difficult aspects, the sufferings that will come along with our walk with Him. They are uncomfortable. The flesh unwelcomes sufferings. They're not something we necessarily look forward to, but they'll be part of our faithful walk. Even Jesus asked in prayer to God in Luke 22, verse 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Well, today we had the opportunity of hearing about many cups. We appreciate the talks that we had from Brother Stephen, who had talked about the cup of consecration. Brother Stephen was also mentioning in regards to the cup of dishonor before the Heavenly Father that Jesus had. We also recall from another discourse that wasn't given at this convention, but the thought that was expressed that Jesus being a perfect human being, having a perfect human body, how much more he would feel the sufferings, perhaps, than us fallen condition. We all sitting here probably have some aches and pains that you're putting up with right now, sitting in relative comfort here. We imagine that Jesus probably didn't have those aches and pains. During his life's experiences, obviously near the end of his course, he did. But in any case, Jesus did pray, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup. Well, we're talking about the cup of suffering, not all the cups of blessings which were brought up. But what was his very next words in that prayer? The very next words were, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We see in Jesus' anxiety, if I can say that, for the cup of sufferings that were about to come to him. But we also see his obedient willingness to do the will of God. So our text of scripture, this Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made unconformable unto his death. We are centering our thoughts on the second part here. We have the two major words there, those three syllable, you can pick them out right there, which what we're talking about, fellowship. We usually, when we refer to fellowship, that's something of a happy, joyful type of thought of fellowship here. Now we have that other three-syllable word of sufferings. That's not the one we necessarily look forward to. Kind of two extremes put into one sentence here. Our thoughts tonight are going to kind of center around the sufferings, not of our Lord, even though he went through many and we've had discourses on that, but mainly about the sufferings of the Lord's followers. For you, for me, those sufferings. Sometimes we too may feel like we want to pray to have this cup of suffering removed from our life. But we learn the lesson from Jesus and what he taught, remembering also to accept the will of God. When we look at that Philippians 3:10, that simple dictionary definition, we're going to go to somebody else referred to Google. Fellowship. It's just a simple definition of fellowship would be a friendly association, especially with people of one's same interest. As Christians, we who are sitting here, and even those that are watching via technology, we all have spiritual things in common, things of fellowship. We have a keen interest in the well-thought-out, the perfect plan of God, and what he has promised for all of mankind. We share interest in the faithful walk of Jesus, his life as a perfect human. With that perfect life, he fulfilled the holy law passed down to man through Moses, which gave him the right to life eternal. But he chose to forfeit his human life rights for the benefit of all mankind, and in so doing, allowing shame from the world to come upon him, even unto death. His severe trials and sufferings were a test of faithfulness unto God. And as followers of Jesus, we should expect, and we should also likewise expect trials and sufferings. As followers in Christ, we're going to be called upon to do many sufferings. Acts 9:16, "For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." As followers in Christ, we may be called upon to endure loss of reputation. In 2 Corinthians 4:5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservant for Jesus' sake." Are you a fool? Are you a fool? 1 Corinthians 4:10, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor." As followers in Christ, we may be called upon to endure renunciation of worldly goods. Matthew 19:25, "And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or farms for my name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." As followers in Christ, we may be called upon to endure persecution. Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." As followers in Christ, we may be called upon to endure hatred. Matthew 10:22, "You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." As followers in Christ, we will be called upon to endure loss of life. Matthew 10, verse 39 and verse 38. "He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." So why do we accept this invitation of suffering? It's a reasonable question. And where are we leading to? This is the fourth time you're hearing this scripture here tonight, brethren. Maybe that should be our theme scripture for today. The fourth time, I know the brother Brad before me and Brother Michael after me. We did not converse about what we're talking about. Brother Brad used this scripture. Brother Dale's now using it. This is number four. Guess what? Brother Michael's going to be using it too. So number five will be coming up here. Perhaps also interesting is of the 5 speakers that we had this morning and afternoon, four of them kind of overlapped what I'm having to say here. So we appreciate the commonality of thought. So we have this 12:1 immediately comes to mind, and we're not going to read it. I think we have it. But we understand how it is a very logical statement is given in a very simple sentence, and it's reasonable to take this course. Well, we would like to be like of like mind of our elder brother. And if we look at Hebrews 12:2, we find the motive Jesus had for the experience of suffering. We find a definitive reason for our walk with him. For it says in Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And we want to emphasize again, for the joy that was set before him. The words are easy and simple to say. In our consecration to the Lord, we all have agreed to accept the thing the Lord has in store for perfection of our character. We hope and pray that we have the strength to accept that which will be set down before us, and to endure the cross, whatever it may be, endure the shame we may experience, and in like manner do it for the joy that is set before us. We recall the many experiences of the apostles. Let's remember in particular the experiences of Peter and the other apostle in Acts 5. The scene was the high priests and the councils. They were all called together, and the Senate of the children of Israel. And in Acts 5, verse 40, they called the apostles and beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. And they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Well, that was centuries ago. And yet we still have the opportunity of the fellowship of suffering as shown in 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Also 2 Corinthians 1:7. And our hope of you steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also of the consolation. Jesus invites us to be a disciple of his and tells us the price of admission, if you will, in Matthew 10:38. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me will lose his life. And he who has found his life for my sake will find it. We're to follow him. Follow him where? As perfect humans, Jesus had life rights. He had the right to live as a human who was able to keep the perfect law perfectly. He carried his literal cross as far as his weakened body would allow and continued to his crucifixion, where he gave up his human life rights. For us to follow him, we too pick up the cross that we have or that will be given, and we are following him. We too are giving up our human life rights. We too follow him unto death. We certainly do not have the perfect life to give now, but in our walk with him, we are giving up any claim to human life rights that will be afforded to mankind. Matthew 10, 39. He who has found his life will lose it. He who has lost his life for my sake will find it. And we have this Acts 3:18. But these things which God before has shown by the mouth of all his holy prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. We have many scriptures which admonish our walk with Jesus. It's much more than just an outward profession through water baptism, but it involves continued daily action on our part. We have a number of scriptures, Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8:34. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 14:27. And whoever does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Well, these scriptures should have a very common thought. Take up the cross of Christ and follow in his footsteps. We have at this time in the plan of the ages an invitation. And it was mentioned earlier today, a one-time only opportunity. This invitation has been offered only to the called out from the human creation, not offered to the lower beasts of the earth. From our understanding, is not offered to any of the angelic beings created a little higher than man. We have a unique opportunity, time-wise, in the centuries-old story of man. Through the thousands of years of man's history, only this period of time, we recognize this age of good news, is this invitation offered. We have this unique opportunity in that we are the only creation of God that has been this extended to. Well, with so much of the bitter cup of experiences the suffering has in store for us, wouldn't it be great if we had a little comfort available in an easy container there? As it comes in an easy, convenient, easy to carry container. Well, it's not the one that's before you here. This is not the container what we're speaking of. Here is the convenient container of comfort we're going to be alluding to. The scriptures, they give us much comfort. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Here we read that we're not alone in our sufferings. Although sometimes it might seem so, keep the faith and comfort in the realization of common participation with fellow members, the fellowship of suffering. When we continue with verse 10 in 1 Peter 5, we read how suffering in a positive way helps us. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, makes you perfect, established, strengthened, settles you. Perfect, established, it strengthens us, and it helps to settle us. Quoting Charles Russell, reprint 4750, quote, "We think the suffering takes in all of the present life's experiences. So the thought is apparently after ye have suffered a while and thus been made perfect," I'm inserting that, "he will strengthen, establish, settle you." End of a quote. Well, we all agree that we will not be actually perfect until we attain the resurrection change. Let's look at Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. "Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." In the question book, we had this quote, "The same power that brought our Lord from the dead is able to perfect us through the blood of the new covenant by laying down our lives, sharing his death." So we had the perfect, established, strengthened. Let's look a little bit at established here. Colossians 2:7, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." We should be so rooted in our faith that no wind of error is going to uproot us. We also have the comforting words in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Let's move on to strengthened. Here are some scriptures on strengthening in our time of suffering. Zechariah 10:12, "And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord." Jesus himself said in Luke 22, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The more we resist temptation, the stronger characters will become. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Colossians 1:23 and 24, and my computer is jumping on me, speaks about settling you. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We also have 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. 1 Corinthians 12:26. Here's some comforting. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Continuing, or we also have the positive. When one member is being honored, all the members rejoice with it. Romans 8:16 and 17, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. As we follow Jesus and we're undergoing whatever sufferings that are in store for us, we're reminded in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, that the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Well, we leave you with the following concluding scriptures once again. Acts 5:41. As they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.